Hey, this is Chip Brim, and you're listening to the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast. Get ready to receive a word that will impact your life. I've been set
free. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Well, we've been on this all in, and if you've missed and just now joining us on this, I want you to go back our archives and watch it and study it and get caught up on all in. And God keeps giving me these history moments of all in. So I'm going to just continue that with this one about Joshua Chamberlain. And Joshua Chamberlain was a student of theology and a professor of rhetoric, and he was not a soldier. All right, let's just get this straight. But when duty called, Chamberlain answered, and he became a soldier, and he quickly climbed in the ranks. Now, he became a colonel of the 20th Maine Volunteer Infantry Regiment in the Union Army. This is Joshua Chamberlain, a school teacher. Now he's a colonel in the 20th Maine Volunteer Infantry Regiment. So now he's called, duty calls. July 2nd, 1863, Mr. Schoolteacher, right, has a date with destiny. You want to talk about all-in moment, life or death. Not just for him, but for the war, for his sake, and for the Union. And Chamberlain and his 300 men, his 300-soldier regiment, that was all that stood between the Confederates and a certain defeat in the battle at a place known as Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. So just think about Gettysburg and how important, and historians know how important that battle was, all right? So here's Mr. Joshua Chamberlain, Mr. Schoolteacher. That's what he was. And here he is. And all they have left is him and his 300 men between the Confederates. Because historians believe that if the Confederates would have took that day, that battle, they would have eventually won the war. So it's just a school teacher, and he's got 300 men. And at 2:30 p.m. on that day, the 15th and the 47th Alabama Infantry Regiments attack, and they charge. And they're charging who? A school teacher. Joshua Chamberlain. And Chamberlain and his men held their ground. And they held an attack. And then they held a second attack. And a third attack. And a fourth attack. And a fifth attack. And by the last attack, he had 80 bluecoats, 80 men standing. He had 300. Now they're down to 80. And it's all that stands between the Confederates taking over and getting Gettysburg and the Union and the war and everything happening. So Chamberlain himself gets hit. He's knocked down because a bullet hit his belt buckle. And it knocked him down. And he's laying down there on the ground. The 34-year-old school teacher and 80 bluecoats are laying there. There they are. And here they come. Now, it gets worse. A Union sergeant comes in and informs Chamberlain that no reinforcements are on their way. Oh, good. And his men were down to one round of ammunition per soldier. No reinforcements, one round. So Chamberlain knew he had to do something and act decisively. Please, you know, follow this up, Google, find out all of this. And Chamberlain had a lookout, and he was a young boy that he would go off into the very tops of the trees, and he was Chamberlain's lookout. And so that boy came back, and he informed Chamberlain that the Confederates were forming ranks and they're coming. The rational thing to do right here for Chamberlain, with no ammunition and no reinforcements coming, was to surrender, all right, for his men. But here's the thing. Chamberlain wasn't wired that way, okay? And so he made a defining decision that turned the tide of the war and single-handedly saved the Union. Who? School teacher. In full view of the enemy, Chamberlain climbs up onto the rocks that were the barricade so that all of them could see. And he raises up his sword and he yells, "Charge." His men fixed their bayonets and they started running with him straight at the Confederate Army. Now this is going to be kind of hard to believe. vastly outnumbered. And I remember a young man running at Goliath. We need to start running. They caught them off guard by executing what they call a great right wheel. It's a military thing that they do, and he just knew to do it, and they execute the great right wheel. And in what ranks as one of the most improbable victories in military history. Are y'all listening? 80 Union soldiers captured 4,000 Confederates in 5 minutes. Come on, just think about that. We have no more ammunition. What is attacking you? What are the odds against you? What's weighing against you right now, right? What good is that going to do to surrender? So what seemed to be a suicide mission saved the Union. Now I'm reading this right out of history books right here. Historians believe that if Chamberlain had not charged, the rebels would have gained the higher ground. If the rebels had gained the higher ground, there is a good chance they would have won the Battle of Gettysburg. And if the rebels had won that battle, the historical consensus is that the Confederates would have won the war. So one man's courage saved the day, which saved the war, which saved the Union. Now, in God's eyes, little things are big things. You've got to understand this. And I've learned that if we do the little things like they are the big things, that God will do the big things like they are the little things. That is how the kingdom of God advances right there. Amen. Going all in means the courage not to look back. So after the war, Joshua Chamberlain, he goes on and he serves as the 32nd governor of Maine. And he's the president of his alma mater, Bowdoin College. So in 1893, 30 years later, after his heroic act of Gettysburg, he was awarded the Medal of Honor by President Grover Cleveland for holding his position on the Little Round Top and carrying the advanced position to the higher ground of the Great Round Top. In his later years, Chamberlain would reflect back on the war, and with these words, he said this: I had deep within me the inability to do nothing. I believe this for every one of you. And who put it there? I had deep within me, somewhere deep in this little school teacher with a belt buckle with a bullet hole in it. I had deep within me the inability to do nothing. And the last thing I was going to do is die with a bullet in my back. That's what he would say. We got to understand that indecision is a decision. Not all in, that's a decision. That's a decision on your part. Inaction is a action. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave the command to charge. Amen? And he's never sounded the retreat since. And what did he say? Occupy till I come. And so I've been seeking God on this higher ground, and he had me share with the men about arising and going higher. And that command that he gives us all through the scriptures about arising. And that word and what it means to go higher. We're to go higher. Take the higher ground. We're not to stay where we're at. That's a dangerous place, people. Where you're at, if you get comfortable, that's a dangerous place. Not to go all in is a dangerous position. And so he was talking to me and he reminded me about what we're going to say today. So I'm so excited about sharing it again because I want to hear it again myself. Israel relied. Everybody say relied. Now the word relied means to be dependent on. Is anybody dependent on oxygen in here? How dependent are you of it? Do you think, I mean, like a fish would be to water, right? So Israel relied in the Old Testament, I think about this, on their knowing and understanding the covenant. Just like you are relying on oxygen to breathe, that's how much covenant meant to them. But I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm included. Are we that relied on the covenant we have? We're just not. You hear this, right? You hear that we're just Western-minded. And men, when you go over there and you're with those people, you find out, wow, man, I really don't know a lot. So I had a friend of mine, Guy, and he is our tour guide. Guy, our guide. And he's originally from South Africa, I think. But that's why he has that accent. And then he has the Jewish accent. And he lives in a kibbutz. And Guy is the guy. And Guy and I have made a covenant over the years. We love each other. And Guy taught me some stuff about covenant. And man, I didn't know. And now it opens my eyes when I read the scriptures now. Oh my goodness. Everything was covenant. We need to become more covenant minded. Are y'all with me? I don't believe you can go all in unless you're covenant minded. Are y'all with me? I just don't. So let's review this, okay? We've said it before, but let's go again. Think about David and what he said to Saul. Was David covenant minded? We have that shirt all in. David's on it. Why? Because he shows up, all of Israel is worried. They don't know what we're going to do. We're listening to CNN from this broadcaster named Goliath, and he's really big. And he's telling us, I'm just trying to relate it to today. Another disease has come, another thing. He's going to kill more people, whatever. And we hear this, we don't know what to do. David shows up, but David is covenant-minded. Yes. Now, all of Israel knew the same covenant. His brothers were brought up in the same house under Jesse. So they all knew the covenant, but they had forgotten it. And I'm not saying that you don't know it. I'm just saying how prevalent is it? Is it on your mind all the time? Because they relied on it. David is, I'm not going to breathe. I can't be a shepherd when a lion or bear come. I have to have the covenant. Are y'all understanding this? All in is relying like you breathe your next breath on the covenant of God. You talk differently. You act differently. You walk differently. You think differently. You praise differently. You don't praise and worship like you. My God, what he did for me in that covenant. The blood that was shed. The life that was surrendered. God help us. God help us. My concern as a pastor is I preach to you, you know, a few times a month and never go all in and never understand the covenant. And so David shows up and goes, what's going on? Y'all hungry? I got some bread and cheese, man. Why does everybody hide? What do y'all do? Who's that? I mean, he's defying God. And then he says, who is, watch just what comes out of his mouth, this uncircumcised Philistine to even talk that way? Who does he think he is? He's big. God's bigger.
2/3 of these scriptures are prophecy. Most of them have been fulfilled. But we're going to do what Peter says. He says, pay attention to the prophets because they're like a light shining in a dark place.
3BI, Billy Brim Bible Institute. You can earn your degree with an emphasis in Bible prophecy from one of the leading Bible prophecy teachers of our time. For more information, visit billybrim.org/3BI.
It's Chip again. Thanks for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. And if you're ever in the Tulsa area, we would love to invite you to Billy Brim's church, where me and my wife Candace serve as the senior pastors. And if you want to plan your visit, you can contact us at 918-371-4589 or check out our website at www.aglorious.church. By the way, we have the best youth rally in the world every year in Branson, Missouri. Find out how to attend or partner up with us at www.championsforchrist.org. That's champions with the number 4, Christ.org. And remember, champions always prevail.